Because it is associated with authority, giving them orders, and their dad wants them to go to church, but he's always angry, and he's never comforting, and he provokes them, and they move away from the Lord. And so, brothers, work hard to be compassionate, to be sensitive, to be tender towards your children, especially to your boys who need you to be that way with them. And then lastly, he says to the bondservants, this lastly is the lastly of the first half of the sermon, so don't get excited. He says, he speaks to the bondservants. And he says to them, bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of the heart, fearing the Lord. And so he says to those who are the workers in those homes and in the businesses, these people who this version calls bondservants, other versions, other ways to translate, you could say slaves. But the workers in the society, what are they to do? How are they going to react? Should they continue to serve now that they've been freed by Christ? Well, Paul says, well, yes. You also need to remember your responsibility to obey. But, you know, you need to obey. You need to work hard and to be obedient out of reverence for the Lord. Not for your job, not for some person, not for promotion or success or even freedom. But you do it for the Lord, out of reverence for the Lord. Consider Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. This is the content of what it means to do something fearing the Lord. Now, if you're not in Christ, fear God's punishment in hell. That could be motivating for you to make a decision. However, as Christians, the motivation isn't fear of hell, but reverence and awe, as this verse is talking about. And so it says, bondservants, you go ahead and you work hard out of reverence and awe for God. The guy that's over you, and you could translate this to your workplace if you'd like, the guy that's over you and giving the orders, he may not deserve to be obeyed. He may not have earned your trust, but you don't do it for him. Who do you do it for? The Lord, out of reverence for the Lord. And so, in all of these things, you work hard on your family life. And on every portion of the family is working and doing their part, the family will bless, all members will bless one another. And more importantly, they will bring glory to God and frankly win the lost to Jesus. Because families that are excited about the Lord and living in this kind of harmony that a Christian family would exemplify, these are families that attract other people, people that also need Jesus. So that when they come to you and say, listen, I'd like to have a family like this, you could say, well, praise God, you know, it's all Him working in my children and in my husband or wife, and you can have that too. I hope you will. Well, let's go on and look at verse 23 through 25. Work guidelines for everyone. Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Christ, the Lord Christ, for the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. I'd like to break these down into four points real quickly. I'd like to put the first words last and start with the word heartily. Work heartily. This word occurs in verse 23. It's a translation of the Greek, two words, ek sukes. It means out of the soul. Out of the soul. And so when it says, listen, you need to work from inside, so that your work isn't just something you do for a paycheck, but that's something you do from the interior. You are a Christian, and it doesn't matter the job you do, whether other people find it inspiring, or even if you find it inspiring. God calls you from your insides, from your heart. You give your job, anything your hand sets out to do, you do it with everything you've got. When Christians do that, when any person does that, even non-Christians, when you see a person doing that, you admire it. And brothers and sisters, we have the duty to be the kind of people that others can admire in our work lives. You need to be the best worker, the hardest worker, the worker that arrives on time, the worker that gives it his all, the person with the best attitude. And you know, if you do that consistently, after a period of time, you're going to find that you stand out. And standing out in this world is good. It is good. Again and again, the Bible says, listen, you are strangers. You're sojourners. You live in a hostile world. And it's true. We live in a hostile world. You aren't meant for this life. Don't try to look like the world. Try to work unlike your co-workers. Unlike the people around you, so that you will stand out, you will shine, your light will be different, and people will say, hey, I want me some of that. What is it? What is it about you? The Lord Jesus is why we work hard. There are a lot of worldly reasons to work hard, but the godly reason given here is that you do it for the Lord. And that's the second point. Not just work heartily, but also, secondly, work for the Lord and not men. For the Lord and not men. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, I think, is the key to understanding. There, Jesus said, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. But I tell you, it's more than just money that you can't try to serve. It's got to be God all the time and in every area. It's not God and the boss. It's not God and your friends. It's not God and the society. You serve God and Him only. You work for the Lord and not men. And that'll keep you from the problem that when you're going along and you think, well, you know, I'm working so hard and, you know, this bum who leads this company, you know, he's getting rich off of my efforts. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to play video games when he's not looking on my computer screen. Or I'm going to take 20-minute bathroom breaks. And when I come out, they won't notice. Or, you know, I might even take home some of the office supplies tonight when I go home to work, you know. I'll show him. He's not worth working for. But see, we don't think that way. I mean, when we're at work, we're thinking about our example before men. We're thinking about the Lord. We're thinking about pleasing Him. And so what we do, we work heartily at it because we know it's for Him and not for anybody else or anything else. And then he goes on and he says this, number three, work with joyful expectation. He says, knowing, verse 24, you work hard, not for men, knowing that the Lord, from the Lord, you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. This reminds me of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mystery, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, and kept in heaven for you. The real paycheck is not Fridays. The real paycheck, it's not monthly or bimonthly or what is it when you have it twice a month? It's not that. The real payday is at the end of time. And so that inheritance is saying that you're going to have absolutely everything. That inheritance, number one, it's imperishable. It is not subject to corruption or decay. It's not like the things that you could pile up in this life that just rot away and fall down. I remember Suzanne and I were in England several years ago, and we had a bus stop at I don't even remember the village, but there was an old house that was a mansion from the past, and we just went up. We went up, and we thought maybe it was open, and we went to the door, and we had to knock, and an old man came to the door dressed in very worn-out clothes, sort of a satin smoking jacket. And his house was in total decay, so bad that when I went up the stairs, we were just looking at the architecture. When we looked around the house, after paying the man the fee to do so, we walked around the house. We had to walk carefully because it had fallen into great decay. At one time, things that were in there were from other royalty. And the man who was downstairs that met us in the worn smoking jacket was an actual royal. And he slept right next to the room that you come into from the front in an old bed. And when he left the door open a little bit, you could see his unmade bed where he was laying all day long and would only get up when somebody knocked on the door to take their few dollars to look at his house. But all that he had from his life work was that at one time palatial home now fallen into decay. And quite frankly, you know, in the U.S., we would look at that and we might have hired a bulldozer to pull that thing down. Because the things of this life, the rewards of this life, the things we accumulate in this life, they're subject to decay and corruption. But the reward that's promised to you, it's imperishable. It's incorruptible. It stays fresh and ready and glorious, and it will be yours one day. He says it will be unspoiled. When I think of unspoiled, I think of something becoming deformed or debased or degraded like vegetables or fruits that are left out too long on a countertop. But the inheritance that we have is unspoiled. The inheritance that we have in Christ, it's unfading. It doesn't diminish. I can't even imagine colors that never fade. I have a lot of clothes that I still wear that I think are a little faded. This jacket, I think, is a bit faded. But in heaven, the reward never fades. And then lastly, he said in that verse, our inheritance in Christ, it's reserved. It's being kept in heaven for us. Ultimately, that's your reward in heaven. To be with Christ, to see His shining face, to be embraced by divinity, to hear from Him, well done, good and faithful servant, because you have worked hard in your life, not for men, but for God. You have revered not the acclaim of men, but you have lived in reverence for God. And so you get to the end of your life, and He's ready to receive you. Like Abraham, we need to live looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And the last point, the passage actually started with these words. It says, whatever you do, whatever you do. And I wanted to say, put this last, because in everything, in whatever you do, that means even the small things, menial things, the routine things, the seemingly unimportant things. To them, too, you apply all these points that come afterwards. Do those things also heartily. Do those things also for the Lord. Do those things for your reward in heaven. Do it in everything. And you might think it's crazy to talk about those things that fill your life that are so routine and that you see as a horrible job. Things like folding clothes or filing papers or changing diapers or mowing the lawn or making sales calls or wiping your child's nose. And you could just add to the list. It would go on and on. So many things that are like that that fill our life and we think, boy, I wish I could just do something important. I'm saying to you, because the Bible says it, do everything heartily. Work heartily. Wipe that nose heartily. Fold those clothes heartily. Mow that lawn heartily. Go to work on Monday heartily. Work heartily in everything that you do. And you know what the result will be? You think this is just for God? It will make you a happier, more productive, more admirable person, and you will be set up as the kind of person that others want to know. What is your motivation? And you can tell them, because you've been doing it, I do it for the Lord. If you're here today and have not been living for the Lord, we offer the invitation every Sunday because we want to be open to praying for you and to receive you and encourage you. You may have come discouraged today. Know that we're here for you. And whether you respond or not, let us pray for one another that we will all work and live heartily for the Lord. If you need to come, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.
Tear the barriers down, show me in convicting tears the glories of your crown. My heart is hard, my soul so so deep, I need you, Lord, to come inside and gently break my heart. My sin is great, but I can see the glory set for me. Show me, Father, where to start and gently break.